Hi, it's Charlie Connolly here. I write every week in the New European on books and literature and great European lives. If you'd like to enjoy more from the New European, you can join us by subscribing at theneweuropean.co.uk/subscribe. That's theneweuropean.co.uk/subscribe. Great European Lives from the New European. Rudolf Valentino, 6th of May 1895 to the 23rd of August 1926. In 1922, in the space of 3 minutes, Rudolf Valentino changed the course of film history. Clad in baggy gaucho pants and campero hat, in Rex Ingram's Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, he led Beatrice Dominguez in a tango, in a bar packed with raucous drunks, the grace of their movements seeming somehow to defy the actual chemistry of film. There was an unavoidable jerkiness about silent cinema. The primitive natures of the film stock, cameras and projectors made the actors' movements appear quick and awkward, forcing them into exaggerated gestures and histrionics. Yet even though a century has passed since Valentino and Dominguez locked onto each other's gaze and played out their immortal tango, they still, even today, move with almost impossible elegance. In perfect synchronicity they glide about the floor, oblivious to everything and everyone but each other. The cutaway shots to hammy, cheering and applauding bar patrons emphasising the remarkable contrast between dancers and spectators. Their movements are so smooth as to be almost liquid as they rock, spin, sway, swivel and stamp as one entity. Arms stiffly extended, hands clasped, hips and lips as close as it's possible to be without touching. It's a dance steaming with eroticism. When the tango finishes, Valentino and Dominguez are wrenched from their intimate reverie by the applause of the crowd, before the scene cuts to a close-up of Valentino placing a tender, lingering kiss on Dominguez's lips, a kiss that, in its pre-edited form, took up 75 feet of film. There's a luminous quality about his face, this former landscape gardener from a small town on the boot heel of Italy. Even allowing for the pan-stick makeup and century-old footage, not to mention the ridiculous hat, Valentino's features glow in front of the camera, drawing the eye wherever he may be on the screen. Even today, more than 90 years after his death, Rudolf Valentino retains a remarkable cinematic charisma, one that captured the hearts of women all over the world. At the end of the dance, there's a brief cutaway to a couple sitting at a table. The woman is on the edge of her chair, eyes wide, mouth open, applauding wildly, while her male companion slumps back in his seat, sneers, and waves his hand dismissively. That brief throwaway shot predicted with uncanny accuracy the public reaction to the man about to become the greatest screen heartthrob in the history of cinema. Women loved him. Men saw his sensuality as both a threat and an affront to American masculinity. This mysterious European had arrived among them, set their womenfolk all a-quiver, and they weren't happy about it. Rodolfo Guglielmi had arrived in New York in 1913 as an 18-year-old at the behest of his mother, who regarded emigration as the only option to make something of himself. He managed to upgrade from second class to first on boarding the SS Cleveland, and during long evenings spent playing cards and wearing a tuxedo among the great and the good of the voyage, the persona that would bring him fame began to develop. It's almost as if he left Rodolfo, the irresponsible, feckless youth from Castellaneta, behind on the shores of Europe, and presented himself at Ellis Island, a handsome, accomplished adult. The genesis of Rudolf Valentino took place in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. He arrived on the west coast of the USA almost by accident. Having carved a reputation in New York as a taxi dancer, a hoofer for hire for the patrons of Maxim's nightclub, he'd spoken in favour of one of his paying dance partners, a Chilean heiress, during her 1917 divorce case. When she later murdered her businessman ex-husband, who after the court case had used his influence to have Guglielmi arrested on trumped-up vice charges, he fled west, adopting the name Rudolf Valentino on the way. Eventually, Valentino arrived in California and found work in films, first as an extra, and then with small parts as mobsters and villains. Then the screenwriter June Mathis saw something in the young Italian and convinced Rex Ingram to cast him in his first major role, Julio De Noye, in Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Next, he appeared as the title character in The Shake, arguably his most famous role, and the one that sealed his reputation as both a film star and as the Casanova of the age. But just when Valentino should have been enjoying the riches, fame, and reputation befitting one of the world's greatest screen lovers, things began to fall apart. First, he involved himself in a bigamy scandal when he married costume designer Natasha Rombova, real name Winifred Shaughnessy, 2 months after his divorce from his first wife, actress Jean Acker, in 1922. Under Californian law, a divorce was only final a year after it was granted. By the time he'd legally married Rombova in 1923, they would divorce 2 years later, Valentino was in the midst of a crippling contract dispute that would keep him from the cinema screen for almost 2 years, during which time he ran up enormous debts. He was also enduring constant media insinuations about his masculinity. The American male didn't approve of the nation's women falling as one for a man they regarded as effeminate. Macho swashbucklers like Douglas Fairbanks Jr., they can understand. But not this slick smoothie, dancing and prancing his way into the hearts of American womanhood. When Valentino published a volume of romantic poetry, written during his enforced layoff, and became an early adopter of the wristwatch, seen by some men as too close to a bracelet for comfort, it became almost too much. Things came to a head in July 1926, when the Chicago Tribune published a scathing column after a face powder dispenser was installed in one of the city's men's public bathrooms. Whither the Homo Americanus, the paper wailed under the headline Pink Powder Puffs, openly blaming the nation's leading man for this creeping feminization. Why didn't someone drown Rudolf Valentino years ago? It asked. This was a step too far for Valentino, who challenged the writer of the piece to a boxing match staged at New York's Ambassador Hotel. He began training immediately with his friend, the former world heavyweight champion, Jack Dempsey. The author of the piece never responded, but a grizzled New York sports hack named Frank O'Neill agreed to step in. Valentino is no sissy, Dempsey warned him. Believe me, he packs a pretty mean punch. Cut the crap, scoffed O'Neill. I don't buy it, and neither does anyone else. This was effectively a duel between European and American masculinities, the louche Italian against a hard-bitten New Yorker. It didn't last long. After barely a minute, Valentino landed a left hook on the journalist's jaw that dumped him firmly on the canvas. "That boy has a punch like a mule's kick," said a stunned O'Neill afterwards, rubbing his swollen jaw. Within weeks, however, Rudolf Valentino was dead. Still fuming at that Tribune slight which continued to eat away at him, on the 16th of August 1926 he collapsed and was rushed to hospital, suffering from appendicitis and gastric ulcers. He underwent an operation. His first words on coming round were, "So, Doc, am I a pink powder puff?" But first peritonitis and then pleurisy set in, causing the actor to slip into a coma and die on the 23rd of August 1926 at the age of just 31. He made one last journey from east to west. After a funeral service in Manhattan that drew 100,000 people onto the streets, his body was taken to Los Angeles for another service and interment, in a tomb that June Mathis, the woman who discovered him, had originally bought for her ex-husband. In the days between the fight and Valentino's hospitalization, the writer H.L. Mencken had a long meeting with Valentino, and wrote later, "Here was a young man who was living daily the dreams of a million other young men. Here was one who was catnip to women. Here was one who had wealth and fame. And here was one who was very unhappy. Rudolph Valentino, the world's heartthrob, died young, aggrieved, and unfulfilled." His partner in that tango scene, Beatrice Dominguez, had died a month before Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse was released in 1922, also of peritonitis, at the age of 24. Her name is all but forgotten these days. But like her partner in that tango, the screen made her immortal. It's one of the most famous scenes of the silent era, and when the film is run today, the two of them locked in that rhythmic embrace, moving silently to music we'll never hear, they still defy the chemistry of film to dance with a poise and lightness that defies their shortened futures of the tragedies to come. Their lightness of foot was born of an innocence soon destroyed. Great European Lives is brought to you by The New European. It's written and presented by Charlie Connolly, and the series producer is Steve Anglesey.